This week on is Bart Walsh, Head of Fitness for Jets Australia. How are you, mate?
Mate, I am pumped.
I tell you what, people are going to love this story. You're a man on a mission.
Thanks, mate. I'm very excited to tell it.
Let's go get it.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by the revolutionary new Hydroxyburn Sleep RX. This natural therapeutic sleep formula is unlike any other, designed specifically to combat the negative impacts of poor sleep on the mind and body without the common side effects associated with other sleep aids. It combines innovative and clinically researched German ingredients Recoverben and Blue Ness with other safe proven herbs to calm the mind and soothe the nerves, helping you sleep better. How? Via lower levels of stress and anxiety and reduced muscle pain, improving your recovery time and enhancing mood. Sleep better.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the world of fit, happy, healthy, and we're going to put at the end of that this week, massive change. Here's a man that's running fitness for one of the biggest brands in Australia, like Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Great brand.
Oh, incredible brand.
How long have you been with them for?
Mate, it hasn't been long. It's been about 6 months, yeah. To be honest. Like, I've always been a typical gym rat, very young. You always know what the big boys are. Jets has always been in and around my locale, but I never really understood what it meant to be a Jets member or what it meant to be a Jets staff member.
And can we touch on that? What does it mean to be a Jets staff member? Because there's probably a lot of people out there going, oh, Jets is just a 24-hour McDonald's version of fitness. Like,
mate, I've heard that before.
Yeah, there's nothing new there.
Like, before we go on, mate, yeah. I have to, I've made a blue. I've made a big blue. Yeah. Within Jets, we have these things called burpee words.
Burpee words?
Unfortunately, I don't have too many burpees personally. I'll do a couple for you at the end of this one, but my member boss is going to kill me for this. But staffmember is a burpee word.
Yeah.
So I'll clock
I can wait.
Up.
I've got a minute. It. Let's go.
All right. Hit me.
Down you go. It's a burpee word.
Yes.
What's a burpee word?
Mate, there's a few within the Jets network. Like, for example, we don't use the word CLASS when we're talking to a session or a workout. It is a session or it is a workout. But even just like the change of nomenclature within the company says a lot about Jets and says a lot about the culture. And the best thing is that the burpee word principle spans PTs, it spans club managers, it spans the finance team.
Everyone.
Finance team. So hopefully I didn't bruise too many egos by saying that at the start, but there you go, mate.
Well, if you stuff up again, we'll do one together.
Thanks, mate.
So I'm onto those words now. I'll be stopping those.
there's a few that pop up.
Before we talk about you, and your story is amazing. Like, everyone here has been buzzed about you coming in to chat to us, like just from the bios and Joel talking with you and the things that are happening. And you're a real change maker. Like, what you're doing at Jets is amazing. Like, you can see the difference from our point of view, like dealing with the brand itself. I mean, I'm not saying that in a negative way because, you know, I love what Jet stands for. And I think it's really important for people like you who are new to the brand, but they brought you in for a specific reason. Do you want to tell, like, the fitness world why they should join a Jets and why a Jets is different to something else? Like, what is, like, that burpee word that really got me? Then I won't be saying that all day.
team member. Jets started from very humble beginnings, and I think there's something very humanely intriguing about that, especially with the state of the industry at the moment. I mean, things are getting more technologically advanced. Things are getting less this conversational. And Jets started in 2007 from a couple of brilliant minds, Christy and Brendan Levinson. And their ethos was they wanted to make a gym that was all about the member. So they said no lock-in contracts, open 24/7. And in the market back then, 24/7 was not as popular as it is now. And they made the experience all about that person. And the whole idea of real people and real results really resonates with me. And you can feel it. I've been in a lot of gyms, a lot of brands, a lot of countries. Every gym has its own feel and its own culture. Some you can walk into that door and you can go, there is no heart.
You can feel a place when you walk into a car.
You can. And every time I walk into a Jets gym, and keep in mind here, these are different business owners, same business. Every time I walk into one, the feel and the culture that emanates in every member is something really special. And we've never been one to really target the heavy bodybuilding crowd or the heavy powerlifting crowd or anything like that. We're humble in the sense that we want to affect real people. And that says a lot, you know, about our mission. Our mission previous to last year, it's changed in the last sort of 5 months, was to become Australia's most loved gym. And
okay, so that's the mission.
It was. And mate, we think we've made it there.
Yeah.
Probably. It's a very hard thing to say. It's black and white. And so we've rejigged and we've looked inside ourselves and said, all right, well, what's next? And it's become the world's most loved gym. But not just the world's most loved gym, the world's most loved training gym. And that word is really important. And it's really important to me. And it's part of the reason why I've come on board. We understand that we're very convenient. We're open 24/7. You can come in anytime. You can be a shift worker and you can come in whenever you want and do your workout with some pretty good pieces of equipment.
Yep.
But then the market's changing. If you're in it, you can feel it. And if you're not changing yourself, you're doing yourself a disservice. And at the moment, what people need, and it's not what the market needs, it's what humanity needs, isn't just sets and reps. We need to know the link between nutrition, the link between the mind and mental health wellness and exercise and how all these beautiful things all link up together to create what we want. At the end of the day, most people want to lose a bit of fat, gain a bit of muscle. But the training gym ethos and the training gym philosophy sort of spans that. And it goes, okay, well, we do know you want to lose a bit of weight. How well do you sleep? What are your stress levels like? How can we dig into that deeper to make sure that when we do the sets and reps, we can make sure they're the most efficient sets and reps they can be? And I think, and you know, I'm partially responsible for this as well, being a part of the industry, is we've lost that sense a little bit. I like to think of everything, and this, I don't know, just something says something about my personality or whatever, just the way I think about things, but everything's on a spectrum. It's like a pendulum as well. And on one end of the pendulum, you have entities and exercise styles that are all about happiness and fun, and let's bash a balloon around for an hour and call it an exercise session. And on the other hand, you've got perfectly balanced biomechanics and perfectly executed squats and very rigid personalities and a very cold feel to it. And it seems like, and this is a personal perception, I should say here, is that a lot of entities are either on one end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real passion of mine and a real intrigue of mine to find a way to get that pendulum right in the middle. And being able to have the emotional intelligence and being able to have those times of fun, doing that little dance, you know, making yourself vulnerable, but also knowing a hell of a lot about fitness is something that I've been working towards for a very long time, and something that I want to tell the entire Jets network about, because I know I'm only one person. I know the biggest impact I can have on the industry is to help all the trainers within the gym. So to get that pendulum back in the middle is front and foremost my goal and my mission. And then that feeds perfectly and aligns perfectly well with the Jets' vision to make the world's most loved training gym.
I love that.
Mate, yes, it's bloody brave.
I truly, truly do love that.
Hi team, it's Bart, the head trainer for Jets Australia here. Just a reminder, our 8-week challenge happens on February 3rd. We've got some incredible workouts coming your way, some habit-changing nutrition, transform your body, mind, and life alongside real people, and go in the chance to win a trip for two to Hawaii. The challenge starts February 3rd. Jump on our website and register now, jets.com.au/8-week-challenge. I'll see you in the gym.
You touched on a couple of things when we were talking, and you used the word humanity and vulnerable. Mm. And like, I think it's a good time now to step in and let's talk about you a little bit. Do you want to tell people your story? Because I'm not even going to try and introduce it. I'm going to sit back and listen to it again and be inspired.
Nate, yeah. So I'm very lucky in the sense that I have a perception of life and its events that's very different to a lot of other people. What I've been through, and I think it's good to put a bit of context in this before I tell the story. I'm very grateful for what's happened to me, purely because I am an entirely different person for the better. But when I was a bit younger, I'm 28 now, when I was 23, got diagnosed with two things. I suppose it's good to note as well, I trained as an actor, which is a really interesting thing, especially in the States. The parallel between fitness trainer and actor is quite strong and interchangeable. But so I was doing the rounds on the acting work. You know, I had a few gigs on Neighbours and the Dr. Blake Mysteries, a few ABC shows and a few TAC campaigns, stuff like that. I was working with a youth non-for-profit organization based in Brisbane called Y-Lead. They do a wonderful job. And we just finished one of their conferences. I was a volunteer for. I felt a lump below my jaw. And I thought nothing of it. I thought it was some sort of glandular.
Like a big lump? A little lump?
It was little, about the size of a marble. And I previously knew I had a lump behind my teeth, but they said it was benign. It's just there. And so I went and got it figured out. Went to a doctor. I said, what's going on? And he says, not sure. So they do a bit of research. And within the space of about 2 weeks, it probably quadrupled in size. So it grew very fast. Had the biopsy. One doctor wanted to cut it out straight away without knowing what it was. Thankfully, he didn't. Otherwise, I could be in a much worse position, I suppose. Got the biopsy and got diagnosed with two things. One's a condition called neurofibromatosis, and the other one was a peripheral nerve sheath tumor as a result of the neurofibromatosis. So I grew a lump on my nerves, which is a part of the condition, and then from that, a cancer grows. And luckily for me, it's a very aggressive type of cancer, and it proliferates and grows very fast. So in the space of, must have been 6 to 8 weeks, it grew to the size of a baseball. So 10.2 centimeters, right on the side of my jaw. I was very blasé about it, thinking that it was just something. So I got the biopsy, got the diagnosis, and then the call to action was, well, we have to cut it out. And then
we're talking a baseball now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a big boy. Yeah, see, it's not like you can hide that. Beard looked really funny though, when I grew his hair over it, but that's another story. So we had to cut it out. And the question was, do we do radiation therapy before or do we do it after? And so they decided to do it after. The success rates were apparently much more prevalent if you cut it out first. But the surgery was quite intricate. So they had to take out my right jaw, and with that, the floor of my mouth, a third of my tongue, a little bit of my throat, and all my teeth.
Can you just go over that again? Because I don't think people actually understood what you just said. So they did.
So they cut out my jaw.
Your jaw.
So if you were to place your finger right in the middle of the bum crease of your jaw.
Yeah.
They took out 10 centimeters just below the joint.
And then you said your tongue?
Yes, so they took out a third of my tongue. So the way they do surgeries with cancers is they can't just cut out the direct growth. They have to take a circumference or a diameter around just to make sure they get all the cells. Because the issue happens with surgery and cancer is if you cut it out and you don't get all the cells, all of a sudden you've got these really random cells still within your body that can grow. Right. So they needed to make sure they've got the whole lot.
Jaw, tongue, roof of your mouth, did you say?
Floor of my mouth.
Floor of your mouth.
And a little bit of my throat. So, I mean, salivary glands as well, all gone. And it's really funny.
You were 23 when this is
23.
23.
Correct.
What were you thinking? Like, what was the mindset then? Because you obviously said I was blasé about a baseball on the side of my head. So yeah. You were pretty cool to then. Like, but once someone starts telling you, we're going to cut this, like a young man, you're going to lose your jaw, you're going to lose your tongue. So you're thinking, geez, I'm not going to sound the same. I'm not going to look the same. I mean, you're an amazing human. What did you do at 23 that none of us had? Like, what was it?
I was, to be honest, I was very angry.
Yeah.
And to be even more honest, I don't remember much of it. The mind is a wonderful thing, and I know I've repressed a lot of feelings from back then. But the main frustration came from training 3 years as an actor and doing voice classes every day, 2 or 3 hours a day lying on the floor, articulating and finding your resonance and that sort of stuff. And having built up a certain proficiency with the way I sounded, all of a sudden that was going to be taken away from me. And as a budding actor and a budding fitness professional, that just made me very
angry.
Yes. In a word, but I pride myself on my optimism, and I'm not sure whether my optimism is a result of this situation or whether I've had it beforehand. But you know, there was no point where I looked back, because that just seemed inefficient. I've always been one to work really well within my limitations and find ways to do things better with things that I can do rather than things I can't. I'm not a complainer. And again, I don't know if that's a result of what happened or not. But the most frustrating thing was, I don't think I've even told Jane this, my partner. She, for about 2 days, they said they were going to have to take my voice box as a part of the diameter. And so I started writing. And so I started writing, what are going to be my last words? You know, what I want the last verbal things to come out of my mouth to be. And I can't remember them. I threw out that notebook pretty fast after they said, we don't need to take your voice box. So there was about 5 days where I didn't sleep. So I got diagnosed, got told of the operation, got told we might need to take your voice box. And the way the operation worked, as well as they replace all the tissue they take away with other tissue from my body. So they're going to use my left fibula as my jaw, and they're going to take tissue from my left quad to fill the floor of my mouth, and then a few skin grafts from the quad as well. So there's two sort of things that are really frustrating. One was the voice thing, I'm going to lose all that. And the other was the doctor said I'd never be able to run again. And that was really frustrating. And the thought of missing the freedom of running is heartbreaking. So there was about 5 days there where I didn't sleep. And it was very difficult because I thought that the cancer would grow so fast within those 5 days that I might not make it to the surgery. So I was in a world of mental anguish, I suppose. And so the surgery came. It was at St. Vincent's in Melbourne. Wonderful people, wonderful staff, wonderful nurses. I gained an appreciation for nurses like no other.
Shout out to all the nurses in Australia too.
They're doing wonderful jobs. The night before my operation, I had my last meal because I knew, not my last ever meal, but I knew for the 3 months after I'd been on a liquid diet. So I had a Big Mac, arguably one of the worst decisions I think I could ever make. Mum brought it into the hospital because they wanted to feed me hospital food, and Mum wanted me to have a good meal before I went into the operation. I had Big Mac, felt awful the next morning, but I don't remember. The operation went for 16 hours.
16 hours.
A very long time. I couldn't remember a thing of it, obviously, but I woke up, and the day after, I think I woke up at about 3 p.m. So you could say there's, 4 hours before bedtime. And those 4 hours were just the longest 4 hours of my life. I wanted to get to bedtime so I could go to sleep, so I can just forget about everything. And I was so chemically enhanced with painkillers and blood thickeners and all this sort of stuff that every minute felt like an hour. So I was looking at a clock, couldn't speak. I had a tube in my nose. I was breathing through a tube in my neck, and every minute just felt so long. Got to bed that night. I spent the next 3 months in hospital, which is a fascinating time. Hospital. Yeah, it might be a little bit less. So it might have been 2 months and then in and out for a month after that. And the visual of this is quite interesting. So breathing through a hole in your neck, you're eating through a tube in your nose. You've got a big cast on the entire left side of your body because they've taken tissue from your quad. They've taken your fibula and you can't move. And so I'm not sure whether it's a symptom of the condition or not, the nervous system condition, but I was just so itchy all of the time. I'm sure, I assume the chemicals have something to do with it as well. And so it was then I started sort of understanding that this thing that our soul is draped over, or the thing that drapes over our soul, our being, our tangible senses, our body, is just the most adaptive and wonderful thing ever, to the point where we don't even know how all of it works yet. Mm, and that's fascinating. So these 2 months, I got to see body heal in real time. I had to do a speech therapy. So I had to learn to swallow again and to talk again, and I had to wean myself off breathing through the tube in my neck. And it was as hard as it was and as difficult as it was, the feeling of progression felt so much better, I suppose. And it made me feel a lot better as well. And as soon as I could get out of hospital and go for walks, that helped a lot as well. There's a funny story. They give you a morphine button, so you can press the button whenever you want, and then it shoots morphine into you. And apparently it taps out every 5 minutes. And so one night I slept on it unbeknowingly. So every 5 minutes I was getting a shot of morphine, and I had the most vivid and sensory dreams I've ever had. Me and my mates were selling drugs in pies at university. It was nuts. And I woke up, and the curtains around the bed were moving, and the nurse didn't believe me. I was like, nah, they're moving. And so they figured out what happened. I was on the morphine button. But it's little things like that I remember, and often it's the painful things that I don't. Like, I remember there was a code blue at one time, so a blood clot got stuck in my breathing tube, and so I couldn't breathe. And so they had to, and this is like for all the guys out there that have chest hair, they'll understand, they had to rip out sutures from my chest where the tube was, and rip the tube out, and the tube was kind of congealed with this healing liquid, this pussy stuff that was stuck in my chest hair. And that was just the most painful thing ever. And I didn't remember it until last week. Totally forgot about it. And so I'm still fascinated about how the mind works and what it forgets.
So they pulled the tube out that was your oxygen supply.
Absolutely.
And so obviously it tried to heal around the tube.
Absolutely. And that was probably one of the most painful parts, most definitely, of the recovery. But it's funny what the things you remember and the things you don't. And again, there's just an utter respect to how the body's quest for survival, lingering on the things and repressing things, it's a way of saying you don't need to worry about that. That's done. And it just blanks it from your memory, And so the story sort of doesn't end there. I went through my rehab, had my speech therapy, went through a bit of physical therapy to learn to walk again. They took my fibula. And for those in the fitness industry, they know that the fibula is just a load-bearing bone. Yeah. It doesn't do jack. But learning how to sort of coordinate the nerves, when they did take it out, they had to cut some tendons and cut some nerves. So part of my condition is that I can't really feel below my knee. That's just a part of the nervous system condition. So I've got these really, really stick thing legs, which is a really funny thing to have in the fitness industry, especially when you can out-squat the people with real legs. But it's insane. So I had to learn to walk a little bit again. But for the years following, I had a host of infections, a very rare infection called actinomyces, which grows very specifically in the jaw and it's very slow growing and you can't get rid of it. You have to either cut it out or spend the rest of your life. Yeah. Antibiotics all your entire life. So it's your choice. Thankfully, they did cut out a bit of the metal work to get it out.
So you had more jaw work done again.
Yeah, quite a bit. So after the operation, the jaw looked like something from the Terminator and the infection sort of spread from one bit of the jaw, one bit of the metal work to the next. So they had to keep taking these bits out. Thankfully, I was young and the healing properties when you're young are a lot better than if you're, 60 or 70. So the jaw healed quite well, but a lot of the metal work has been taken out purely because it's been infected. And how that happens, it's very hard to tell. So sort of in the last 4 years, I've been in and out of hospital, been having to postpone work for a little while. And as a PT, a few years back, it's a pretty hard thing to do. But everything seems to be all right now. The way it looks is my jaw isn't sitting the way it should. So I've got a big underbite and it's slowly going to keep shifting back. So there's going to be a point in the next few years where I'll need to realign the jaw. That's just the way that the body heals, I suppose. And then there might be a few issues with my teeth as well, because now I can only chew on one side of my mouth. The other side of the mouth isn't getting any stimulus. So there might be an issue with the teeth that aren't getting any jaw work. But thankfully, and the people at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre, incredible people, and what they do is a real blessing. Everything seems to be all right with the cancer side of things. So I've had my checkups, had my monthly, my weekly, my three monthly, my half yearly, my yearly, and they said, yep, you're good to go. If anything happens, come see us, which is wonderful. But the hard thing to get my head around is that the prognosis of neurofibromatosis is very varied of the person. A lot of people who have this type of neurofibromatosis, it's quite prevalent because they grow a lot of lumps under their skin, on their nerves. Yeah. So neuro, nerves, fibromatosis, yeah. Growths, I think it means. But mine's a bit different. Whether it's more severe or less severe, I'm unsure. I'm pretty sure it's less severe, but the potential for growing these lumps is still there. And it seems to happen when people get a bit older, sort of in their 40s to 50s to 60s, they'll start to grow these lumps more frequently. And one of the doctors said, and they liken it to the elephant man disease. So when you hit a certain age, they might grow to your detriment, but it's very hard to dwell on that, and it's very inefficient to dwell on that. But that's a sort of the main prognosis I've got to get my head around. I'm also very aware that my lower legs are degenerating, so the nerve and the feeling in them is getting worse. So there might come a point where something might happen with my foot where I'll need some extra assistance, but that's sort of a future bar thing to worry about. And as far as I'm aware, and as far as of what I've read, I'm in the right industry to stop that from happening. The effects of very targeted strength training, especially neural training, will help me out incredibly. And so in that sense, I'm in quite a good position to stave off the effects of what might come in the next few years. So it's been a pretty good journey. But as I said, I think I'm rather lucky. I've experienced things, I've felt things, I've seen things that not a lot of people get to see, feel, or hear. And because of that, I see things in a very different way. And it's a real advantage to me. And it's a real advantage for me in the fitness industry as well. Because all of a sudden, the Bart before the operation who was worried about how many sets I should do on my pecs and how much protein I should have after my workout, all that sort of stuff, although it has a place, isn't the big rock. Like we're trying to move a mountain here. And the boulders we need to hit are well beyond that sort of stuff. They're pebbles. And so this idea of and seeing it and witnessing it over the last sort of 7 years, and seeing how my body has responded to adversity, radiation therapy, operation, operations, like ulcers. At one point, my mouth was littered with ulcers and how my body compensated for that. Seeing how the body responds to applied stimulus is something that everyone deserves to understand. It goes beyond trying to lose weight. It goes beyond trying to gain muscle. It goes, well, if I want to feel this way, I know exactly how I need to train. I know exactly how I need to eat to make sure I get there. And we've muddied the waters. I love the industry. I really do. But I do think we're getting further away from trying to specify these big boulders. And a lot of health practitioners, a lot of PTs, they're promoting this already, which is excellent. But everything comes back to, you know, your four big pillars, which are exercise, nutrition, stress reduction, and sleep. I can't tell you how beneficial really protecting my sleeping patterns has been for the last 7 years. I'm a convert to blue blocker glasses. I wear them every night before bed, and they have a very big effect on how I sleep. I have a very similar sleep routine. I go to bed at 8 o'clock. I wake up at 4 o'clock. Simple as that. There's your 8 hours, and I stick to that. But that has been the biggest progression for me. I'm sure it's had a big impact on how I've healed as well.
Can we step back a little bit on that progression? Leading into this, the fitness industry saved you. You just said, like, it was the thing that got you from where you were as angry 23-year-old but mm-hmm. to humanity talking about vulnerability and changing the world with fitness. What was it that made you grab on fitness back at that stage as that thing that can make that change? Because that's a powerful motivator. Like, a lot of people who suffer anxiety and mental stress walk away from fitness mm-hmm. because it is two things. If you're at that high end, it's too hard because you're playing in a game where there is no perfection. The other side of it is it's way easier to sit on the couch and turn on TV and watch Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. Like, what made you get up and start to do what you do? Like, let's mm-hmm. be honest, you're the head of fitness for Jets Australia. Mm-hmm. What made you do that?
In university, yep. we studied a technique called the Alexander technique, and it's very woo-woo.
But woo-woo.
Yes, it's very...
It's not a burpee word, is it?
Very crunchy. No, it's not yet, anyway.
Could be new Jets word.
That's right. I don't know how many people use that word. I'm pretty sure it's just me. But anyway, the Alexander technique's wonderful. It teaches you how to... teaches the relationship between your breath, your posture, your resonance, and how you can exactly, right? Alexander technique, Bob Losh Fla. It's it teaches you how all these things work in synergy in this sense to make you sound better, look better, perceive better, to communicate better on stage. And so I was fascinated by the fact of doing, you know, a couple of hours of this technique every week made me feel incredible. And it all came to do with, you know, it all came back down to the breath. You know, it was very all about controlled breathing and certain breathing sequences and plosive sounds off breath and holding vowels off breath. And that kind of got my cogs turning, you know. And then the next sort of step into that, joined a gym because of the vanity. I wanted to be a better actor, and I knew that I'm going to get more roles if I was a bit bigger and if I looked the part more. And then all of a sudden, the link between what we did in the Alexander technique, what we did at university, and what we did and what I did in the gym merged, and how breathing informed repetitions and repetition informed breathing, and how these systems are seemingly separate but utterly connected at the same time. And that's where the cogs started. I consider myself a lifelong learner, even before the operation, even before everything. And so I did a lot of research by myself. I even got my certs, and everything sort of started making sense. But it wasn't until the operation, it wasn't until that point that I realized that this thing that is our body is one beautiful system, and it responds to adaptation in very specific ways. And mastering and understanding how to apply these adaptations and how to apply the stimulus to create these adaptations is just the most fascinating thing to me. I love the fact that you can do a bicep curl and it'll grow your muscle, or you could do a row and it'll grow the same muscle, arguably even more. And why is a compound movement arguably going to grow more muscle than an isolation movement? That sort of juxtaposition, even though that might not be the most succinct way of explaining it, that sort of idea and that sort of concept is something that fascinated me. And it all stems back to university. It all stems back to coming back to the breath, and it all stems back to doing something that I really loved, which at the time was acting.
Wow. So your 3 months, 3 years recovery, back to hospital for 3 years after all this.
Yeah.
So you're sitting down working on breathing techniques to manage your anxiety.
Yes.
You're just sitting thinking, I want to train people. I want to be a PT again. And that's what got you off the bed.
It helped. It helped a lot. And that's always sort of been a driver for me. Like everyone tries to find their why. And I often do the five why exercise, and it always comes back to keeping people away from where I was and letting them know that they have control of their body, and the body is one of the most amazing adaptive systems in the world, I think.
Mate, you're a legend. That's all I'm going to say. You are an absolute legend. So let's talk about the people that employ you. Let's talk about Jet.
Wonderful people.
Let's be honest. It's a tough gig employing people, and you can take a massive risk with someone who's like, if I was reading a resume, as a typical business owner, you go, oh, okay, well, this could happen, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, why did Jets put you in as their head of fitness?
It was perfect timing, and you could call it serendipity in a sense. We moved to the coast, the Sunshine Coast, because that's where we want to be. That's where we want to establish ourselves. And it just so happens that...
We being you.
Me and my partner.
Yep.
Yes. And it just so happens that Jets was looking for a role, a position that went beyond previous one. So previous one was looking after our high-intensity group exercise offering, J-Series, and doing a bit of fitness consultation with the marketing team, that sort of stuff. But they needed someone who had this perception and this passion to create new offerings and to reshape things so that they can continue with this quest of being the world's most loved training gym.
So let's just talk a little bit about you. You've been a CrossFit coach.
I have.
You have. You cycle instructor?
Yes.
What's that?
A cycle instructor. Yeah. Like a spin instructor.
Spin class. Okay, yeah, cool. Mate, I thought you might have taken people on bike rides.
Sorry. Oh, I loved it. That's not quite, mate.
You've done
quite.
The PT, the fitness manager. You've been at F45 and head of fitness for Jets.
Correct.
So 23, 28 now, 3 years of back to hospital over and over again, and you've still done all that.
Yes.
Man, you're
either that or I'm just I want to do everything all at once. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, you definitely did that at 23. I'll give you that.
Thanks, mate.
That's amazing.
But it gives you a great perception. I mean, like at the end of the day, we're all, no matter what brand you're working for, whether it's yourself or another, we're all in it for the same reason, yeah, right?
If you don't love it, don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So back to Jets, a part of your head of fitness for Jets is that you need to run things like the challenges. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes.
So why would a Jets challenge be any different from anyone else's?
So this is where I'm really lucky. This challenge, so we have a challenge coming up in February, on February 3rd.
Let's throw a date out there. When is it? February the 3rd?
February the 3rd.
How do people sign up for your Jets challenge?
jets.com.au/8-week-challenge.
Or if you just like a long URL, do you want to say that again? Because that's a ripper.
www.jets.com.au/8-week-challenge. Or if you just Google the old Jets 8-week challenge, it'll pop up there.
Do you have to be a Jets member to do that?
No. And in fact, if you go on now, at the moment, there's a $0 joining fee. Plus, you'll get some extra goodies along with the membership if you do join up now, and you'll get access to the challenge too. I've been really lucky. I've had quite a bit of trust and quite a bit of...
thrown at you?
Yes, absolutely. So this challenge is a lot different to the ones we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. So we've recently partnered with Precision Nutrition. So in the next sort of 12, 24 months, you'll see...
They're kicking some goals?
Oh, however, mate, they're wonderful. And their values align with mine and align with Jets and align with a lot of others quite well, which is why we only partner with the best.
Yep.
I'll put it that way. So we're taking their ethos and we're taking their behavior change concepts into the challenge. So one thing I'm really passionate about is that fitness is a lifelong endeavor. Whenever I get a new PT client, it's all right, here's what we want to do in this time, but can you see yourself continuing this regime for the rest of your life? And often the answer is no. So we're trying to find ways that create behavior change that inform choices and inform decisions outside of the challenge. So in this challenge, you're not going to get a meal plan.
You're not going to get a meal plan.
And the reason is we want our members and we want the people taking part of the challenge to take control of their eating and their nutrition. And I can vouch for this firsthand. When you understand what foods make you feel good, what foods make you feel bad, what foods make you perform better, rather than someone just assuming these things, the better off we're going to be.
And that's a big thing you've touched on there, people just assuming these things. Like, a lot of people are miserable, hate life, and they don't realize it's choices they're making outside of just mental issues. You know, like it's that food and that lifestyle you're talking about and that belief that you can be more than what you are now, that, you know, that's a big thing. And that's a very hard thing for you to grab and roll out to mass population. Yeah, mate, I'm really interested to hear how you're going to do that in this.
It's huge. It's very challenging, but why else would we do it?
Yep.
I mean,
it is a challenge, isn't it?
There he is. I mean,
I thought I said a burpee word there for a second. I was sweating.
Close. I'll lock him up, mate. It's a real challenge. And, you know, some other people would see that challenge and just go, oh, that's okay. We'll just give them a shit hot meal plan and some good exercises and they'll be great within those 8 weeks.
So are you allowed to talk about how you're going to actually handle that side of things with Precision Nutrition? Like, what are you going to do? Is it people lock into columns and different styles, or what are they? How do you do this 8-week challenge and not have a meal plan?
Yes, so I can drop a few hints. I can't give away everything
at all.
If they want to know more, they'll have to join. We feed in the behaviors week by week, and so there's a lot of information. In fact, we've used a few of Harriet's articles quite a bit about meal.
She goes all right, Harriet.
She is all right. So we've informed the processes. So we understand that we need food preparation.
It's a process.
Yes, absolutely, mate. Yeah. So they know, they'll understand the benefits of meal preparation, the benefits of preparing your meals, prepare, not preparing to fail. And then they do this really cool thing that's linked into precision nutrition where they get portion sizes. And these portion sizes then inform, it gives them a target for the day and then a target for your meals. So a member comes in and goes, all right, I need, you know, 2 palms of protein, 1 cupped handful of carbohydrate and a thumb of fat in every meal. And I know I'm going to have 4 meals a day. All I have to do is do that for 4 meals and I'll be doing something right.
Yeah. So this by scales.
Yeah, exactly, right? Can't carry them around.
Scales in a restaurant.
That's very true. Although some restaurants are. Yeah. But this is a habit and this is a thing. Our hands are with us all the time.
Yep.
This is a habit and this is the thing that we can carry into life. And it's not just 8 weeks at a time. Well, we can have this ethos and we can understand if we go to a restaurant and see a steak that's 4 palm sizes and a bowl of chips that's, you know, twice as big as your head, that maybe I will portion it differently. And then at the end of the day, you'll be better off. This is just one example of how we're sort of tying this into the challenge. It's setting up systems. It's informing the systems, but then it's putting a bit of onus back on the member. One thing that's really interesting.
Are you allowed to say the word member?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, thank God, mate. That's you can right. Give me a heart attack.
You're right. I got to do the burpee with you.
And this is one thing we're taking into J series as well, our group
exercise.
Do you
want to tell people what J series is before?
Yeah. So J series is within 60 odd of the Jets clubs. They're not in all of them just yet. It's HIIT training, programmed by myself, but delivered by some of the best rock star coaches you'll ever see. And so, one, you'll get super fit 30 minutes at a time. 2, you'll have a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, the people that I train, that's why I train the coaches, are otherworldly. Like the care and attention they have is incredible.
And that's why there's 60 not. What have you got, 200 odd Jets?
Yeah, within Australia, absolutely.
So it's very selective at the moment.
It is.
It is
at the moment. And
how do I find a J-Series Jets?
Absolutely. If you jump on our website, all the information will be there for you. And okay. If you click the J-Series link, you'll get a bit more of a rundown of what that is.
And that's jets.com.au?
Nailed it. All in one. But it's a beautiful offering and it creates a community like I've never seen. And the beautiful thing is, the one thing I love about J-Series, put the challenge aside for a second, is that, and this goes into this ethos of integrated training, is that you can do your 2 or 3 J-Series sessions a week, which is all we recommend.
Yep.
Like if you look at all the literature on HIIT, really sessions should last between 4 and 10 minutes.
Yep.
And that's it. So we recommend 2 or 3 times a week. But then all of a sudden you have an entire gym to do your traditional strength training program, which we're encouraging to be the foundation.
Yep.
And you can come and do that whenever you want. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're looking at different energy systems and you're looking at integrating them in a way that works for you rather than against you. It's a wonderful offering. Do a bit of research, have a look at it. J-Series will
play. Are they going to get better results than the non-J-Series gyms?
Mate, from the last challenge?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right?
If I wish people could see what I see sometimes in terms of the results we're getting. And the gyms that do J-Series see an incredible spike in results, but also happiness.
Yeah.
It's humanity. They're coming together and they're exercising together. They're bonding through adversity.
There's something about throwing down with other people, though.
I love it. And there's just... We're releasing a whole new set of workouts for J-Series on February 3rd as well. So when the challenge starts.
Oh, to be part of it. Yeah.
So. Absolutely. And the Saturday session, I can't say too much about it, but it's just amazing.
People could see your eyes right now.
It's nonstop. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So I've been doing a few of those sessions in the week and they're bloody hard, but they're a lot of fun. So that's something to look forward to as well. But yeah, J-Series clubs that do the 8-week challenge, they do see an incredible spike in results. But that's not to say that the clubs that don't have it do the same as well. Like there's some wonderful coaches out there that help run the challenge. And I've seen a whole lot of great deadlifting workshops and powerlifting workshops, and they're approaching the challenge from a different point of view. But if you sign up to the challenge, you get access to our portal. In that portal is all of the workouts. And the way we're doing the challenge this year is it's quite phased. So weeks 1 to 3, phase 1, weeks 4 to 6, phase 2, and then phase 3 is the last 2 weeks, weeks 7 and 8. And so each of these has a different adaptation focus. So the strength sessions in phase 1, very foundational and very traditional. So we're low repetition and a lot of rest. That's how we build strength. That's how we build our foundation. And the strength sessions throughout the challenge, then we layer on a bit more volume. There's some strongman inspired workouts in phase 2, which are...
That'll make Harriet happy.
Yes, a hell of a lot of fun.
And she would call it strong person, just so you know.
Of course, you know, I'll change it in the guide. True, very true. And then phase 3, a little bit more volume. And then we've in the guide, I've added a little deload week as well, so they can transition back into real life. And an appropriate amount of exercise rather than the 6-7 sessions a week that some members do for in a challenge. So it's phased in that sense. But so you get an idea of what the workouts are. You get a bit of an explanation from me of what the workouts are themselves. You're informed on different energy system targets in your cardio. So it's not just balls to the wall every time.
Just go in there like, let's do this to plan.
Mate, you'd know about this. You're running a marathon. The beauty of aerobic training is wonderful.
So joke a little bit there.
And the importance of aerobic training is wonderful as well. And the hard thing about aerobic training is that it's not sexy. It's very hard to sell run for 30 minutes at a heart rate of 140. You know, that doesn't translate to the market very well.
It's easy for me. I get to 140 quite quickly. Mine's keeping it under 160.
Give it a couple of weeks, mate. Give it a couple of weeks. So you're informed a little bit about different energy systems in your cardio, so you can tailor your weeks to themselves. So you have all of these resources. You have the recommendations of strength training sessions a week, your recommendations of cardio trainings a week. And if you're a J-Series member, it's as simple as turning up and doing the sessions, which is super easy. But in there as well, we talk about macronutrients, because we do understand that some of our members don't know what protein is, doesn't know what carbohydrate is. So we delve deeper into that.
I actually did a talk the other day, and I think you and I were talking about this earlier, and might have been you that said it actually. The same thing happened, like, what's your favorite carbohydrate? Chicken, you know, like, okay, yeah. But that's the great thing that Jess is doing, that anyone can start this challenge and at the end of it understand not only like that extensive training program we're just talking about, also how to eat when I'm away, how to eat when I'm home, how to meal plan. You know, it's meal planning would be way easier if you're using handful methods versus on weighing this and weighing that, because you've got your people like Claire, my EA, who loves weighing everything she does. And you got people like me, like, I'm just not going to weigh stuff. But then again, differences in body types and looks too, just quietly. But it's theories like, and I haven't heard that theory before. Like, that's a really, in a challenge. I think that's a real, what you guys are doing here is revolutionary. It's good. Yeah, and you've bitten off a big hunk of pie, though.
Oh, mate, yes. We'd
have a fair bit of issue with change, too, because people don't like change.
They don't.
Internally, that would be a tough gig for you, wouldn't it?
It is, and you do get a lot of kickback, but it's, and there's a technology as well. You know, people now have a platform where they can access you anytime, and the way you read it might not be the intention or on the way they want to say it. But you're right, people are reluctant to change. But as I said at the start, this industry is changing. Our bodies are the most adaptive and complex things that have ever been. And if we don't look to try and do different things to make the process more efficient or better or even work for some people, we're putting ourselves behind the eight ball. You know, you'll get a bit of kickback every now and then, but I always think of, you know, the rapper The Game. So he's got a wonderful line in one of his songs, and it says, if you ain't got haters, your shit ain't popping. And I love that.
It's a t-shirt.
Yeah, it is. But it's very true as well. And what we're trying to do over the next few years with Jets is really brave. And we're proud to do that, and we're proud to be that. And if we don't start trying to do things, and, you know, it might fail miserably, and that's okay. We'll learn from it. But if we don't try, we're doing a disservice to our members, and we're doing a disservice to humanity. We're here to get them healthier. We're here to get them fitter. And we know what we're doing at the moment probably isn't working for most of the world. Obesity rates are going through the roof, heart disease, the whole lot. And doing something different might not work. It might work. But by golly, we're going to do it to the best of our ability and find out.
Oh, mate, I congratulate you and Jets on these theories are solid. Like, it's good.
Thanks, mate.
Way different to what I thought the challenge was going to be about, to be really honest.
Yes.
Let's talk about the challenge, and Gold Coast Girl won the last one. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Chris Crystal from Ashmore. Yeah.
And why did she win? What were you looking for as far as what's a challenge winner look like?
So a number of things. At the moment, we're looking at total weight loss as a metric, but we're also looking at circumference as well, because we understand. And we're not at the point yet where we can see someone's biomarkers and their bloods and and we can't get a consistent gauge of someone's body fat percentage over time yet. So we're looking at the circumference of body parts, total weight lost, and then we aggregate that data and it gives us a pretty accurate depiction on you know, who's done the best, what percentage of change has this one done. So at the moment, that's the way it's judged. My dream, and I think we're a little bit off just yet, and I think the industry is a little bit off yet, but why not be ambitious, is that at the end of a challenge or whatever, you can have someone's total weight loss, you can see their muscle gain, which I know there's body scanners that can inform this sort of stuff, so you can see their weight loss, you can see their muscle gain, but you can also see their VO2 max increase, and all of a sudden you can see their aerobic threshold increase.
Some of the important things.
Yeah, they're really important things, and that sort of stuff, those performance metrics inform everything else, and in the years to come you'll see the challenge change and you'll start to see a big focus on weight loss. We understand that, but an even more of a focus on holistic health and change. We're a little bit off that, and we need to have a look at a few technologies and partner with some people to really get a hold of that. But for the moment, that's how we're looking at the challenge. One thing that I love, and I think the best thing that's come from the challenge, is just the little stories you hear and the things that happened in what we call club land. I work in the support office, and sometimes I really miss it. Sometimes it's hard to notice what's happening on the floor, but that's where we contact our club managers and say, what's going on? Tell us the stories. But these little stories that come from the challenge, and so these stories that happen within club that, even though on the surface might not be the biggest change in someone's life, objectively it makes a big impact to that person subjectively. Yeah. Like the stories I've heard about someone doing one pull-up and never always wanted to do it, never been able to do it. Within that challenge they did it, and some people can do 30 of them, and to them that might not seem much, but to that person that means so much. Yeah. And that's what I love. Those sort of things are the things we need to focus on and reward. We're a bit off that just yet, but man, we're working towards it.
So the iconic Jets 8-week challenge is all about making 2020 your year.
It is.
Now, epic workouts, habit-changing nutrition, transfer your body. You're obviously going to work hard on people's minds as well.
Big time.
You're going to set up systems that make it realistic that you can actually live life and make these changes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also got a chance for two people to go to Hawaii. Is that correct?
Mate, how good's that?
I might actually start it myself. I love Hawaii. Hey, I'm a sucker. I'd probably get off the pizza for Hawaii.
That's right. No, it's a wonderful trip. And, you know, Hawaii is not too far away, you know. And, I love the idea of someone winning money and winning things, but as I get a bit older, I'm slowly understanding that experiences mean so much more than cash and prizes.
It's about experience, and you've had some experiences, haven't you?
Oh, mate, yes, absolutely.
Have you got a website or anything that people can talk more about you or learn more about your story? Do you have anything like that?
Not succinctly, and not yet. We have an Instagram.
Get it out there. Absolutely.
Verum Performance, Verum Performance. Verum is Latin for true. Not bad, eh?
A snake picture in my head for some reason.
Venom. We're active to a sense, but we're by no means enamored by Instagram. But people can talk to us through that, which is.
So you answer your DMs?
I try my best, mate. Bulk of information. It's a really exciting time. It's incredible. So what we're launching a new website very soon, and with that comes a content hub. And this is something that's really
massive fan of content hubs.
Oh, mate! And so you're going to see a whole lot of information come out from Jets very soon. So keep an eye out for that. The best thing people can do to keep up with how Jets is rolling and how we're changing is to Instagram, social media, follow us on all of them. Jets Australia on Facebook and Instagram.
Jets Australia, no underscores, just straight up Jets Australia.
Jets Australia.
So anyone considering or listening to this and thinking, you know what, I wouldn't mind making a change in, when was it, February?
February 3rd.
February the 3rd. Get on board, jets.com.au. And mate, I'm really excited about hearing you guys are creating this ecosystem of health, fitness, knowledge, nutrition, mental health. That's gold. Like the more that we as an industry talk about that stuff, the better the people around it will be.
Well, mate, it's, and as I said, like if you're here to make people healthier and make people happier, we have to start talking about this stuff and we have to start doing this sort of stuff. And it's my vocation to make sure that we do it in the right way and affect as many people as possible.
And if somebody loves the Jets story and wants to become a Jets PT, who do they contact? Well, they jump on the Jets website again, and is that how they apply for jobs?
The best way to do it is to contact the club directly.
Go to your local club.
Absolutely. There's one thing that's on my radar this year is to affect and impact our PT network. At the moment, they work as contractors within our gym, but they are by no means not within the culture. They coming from a PT background, I understand the plights and the struggles and the impact they can have. And one thing I'm really passionate about is making a Jets PT better financially and business-wise, but also making the impact a lot better as well. So 2020 is a year to start for me to start rolling that out as well. It's easy to forget about them, and I know exactly what that feels like. But again, we're all in it for the right reasons, and every Jets PT has another Jets PT by their side, but they just don't see them day to day. So contact the clubs directly. It's the, as is the industry, it's always having the feelers out there for good PTs. I think that's the one thing to really look forward to if you are a Jets PT or you're considering to be a Jets PT, is that we are going to put a bit of an onus on you, you know, in the next few months and years. So
lots of change.
Yes.
Sleepless nights coming up again.
Yeah, that's right, mate.
Lucky you focus on sleep.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Hey? Thanks for coming on board, mate. You're one of the true legends, and I really appreciate you sharing your story about Jets, because, you know, that's an iconic brand in Australia. But about you, like your story and getting out there, and like, I just love when I talk to people, I think, what the fuck got them off their bed? Do you know what I mean? What made them get up and do what they got to do? And sorry for swearing, all those people who hear me swear, Mum, if you're listening. But I just want to say thanks for coming on board. I think a lot of people are going to want to talk to you.
Beautiful. Come at me.
Games on. Jets Challenge, 8 weeks, February the
3rd.
Make sure you register before that date, because that's when it starts.
You got it.
Jets.com.au/ a whole lot of stuff, like number 8-week-challenge. IT people that make these URLs, seriously. Get on board or jump on the Insta and have a chat with someone, or go see your local Jets.
Absolutely. Get in touch.
Game over. Thanks for coming on board.
Pleasure, mate.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.